Good day and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. It is the 11th episode of this and we are looking at prayer. Now, I say this with a bit of sadness, is I was kind of excited last time and last week when we were doing this. I thought it was episode 9 and I was excited to hit double digits. And it turns out that I was actually on episode 10 and we hit double digits that week. It feels now very anticlimactic, thinking it was 9 last week and now we're on 11. It just isn't the same. So I guess either way, we're in double digits and we're continuing to talk about prayer. I think it's a great topic because I think it is one of the areas that in church we find probably the most neglected. And in our own individual lives, it is the most neglected in many ways. And I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm kind of saying trends usually show that when we look at spiritual disciplines, prayer usually falls on the back half of what we many times deem important. As I was looking through different articles this week as I was getting ready for the sermon, I noticed that there were some very interesting kind of statistics on how we go to God and what people deem worthy of going to God for. And one of them really was talking about religion in the North American church and Christianity in the North American church and how so many people are believing that, you know, you really only need to go to God when you need something. And it was really this, it was actually combined with another fact that I was talking about or that they found is a very high percentage of people believe that there were multiple ways and gods that could lead to heaven. And that was even within evangelicals. And it kind of brings us to our topic today, which is wisdom and praying for wisdom and what that looks like. If you've got your Bibles with you, we are in 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to be looking at King Solomon, a very wise guy, made some great choices in life, but also made some not so great choices in life. And I think that's kind of where it's good for us, right? Good for us to look at him because Solomon is, of course, the king of Israel and is known throughout the world as the wisest guy who ever lived. He's the author of most of Proverbs. But what's also tragic is that there's moments in his life where he doesn't get it. When we look at Solomon's situation, and it really lays itself out all through 1 Kings chapter 3 in verses 1 through 15, really start to lay the context for the prayer that we're about to hear. And it even comprises what we're about to hear. But the first lays down the context. And I think it's important for us to look at the context. It's always important for us to look at the context. One of the things that we teach in Bible classes, and especially hermeneutics or Bible interpretation, is the understanding how the first hearers of the word originally heard this and looked at this. And so we call it the Sitzenleben and the way in which we're able to actually take a look at how the first hearers of whatever was written in the Bible would have understood it. But it's also important for us to understand the context. If we look at Solomon's context, he was politically compromised. We see this in verse 1. That in order to extend his kingdom and be at peace with those around him, Solomon was very adept to political compromise. If you read verse 1, it says, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David. Now, the Israelites were forbidden from doing this because God was to be all that they needed, right? But in a political move, Solomon thought that this was the best thing. We also know he was personally conflicted, right? There was political compromise, but we see in verse 2 that people were sacrificing on the high places, which is a reference to the sites where Canaanites worshiped their gods as well. So we know that from Deuteronomy, they weren't allowed to do this. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place of the Lord, Lord your God, and will choose among all your tribes and put his name there for his dwelling. You must go to that place. So we talk about that with the temple. But in a shortcut, the Israelites were now just saying, why do I need to make my way to Jerusalem? Why do I need to make my way to a place where God is, where I can go through the same motions, except just using the Canaanites' sacrificial areas, right? But what we know is also that he was a very committed person. Solomon is a bit of an enigma. He loved God, yet he was compromised and he was conflicted. And so I think this is a great place for us to take a look at wisdom, because I think it's safe to say that for most of us listening to this, we love God. And yet there's moments where we ourselves are compromised and where we are conflicted about the decisions that we have to make in comparison to where God is calling us. When we take a look at this, verse 4 shows us actually that the king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. So he got at least this one right? He at least worshiped in the place where the tabernacle was located, and he made the sacrifices that he was supposed to. But what I want us to take a look at is very much how this pivotal moment in Solomon's life. God asked Solomon the question, what would literally change in his life in verse 5? Ask for whatever you want me to give you. How would you even answer this question? What is it that you really want? What is it that you're dreaming for right now, that you're looking for right now? If God gave you a blank check, how would you fill it in? And I think for most of us, we would like good health, maybe an increased income, maybe more power. And we find ourselves now looking at a prayer of Solomon and trying to draw a bit on how he approaches prayer and wisdom. And so verse 6 is where we really see this. And I think the verse 6 is kind of that important thing that we've seen as a trend in everything that we've done so far with regards to prayer. But it's recalling what God has done in your life. Remembering where God has been in your life. Something that we see over and over. And we see in verse 6, Solomon began to answer the Lord the right way by recalling what God has done. You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this greatness to him and given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. He recalls God's kindness and honors the memory of his own dad. And Solomon gives praise to God for the fact that he's sitting on the throne, that Solomon is even in the place where he is. He knows that it was not because of him, but it was because of God's mercy. And so when you pray for wisdom, it's important to recall again where God has been in your life. This isn't really much of a lament, but asking God for something. And there is a difference between the two. The other thing that he does immediately after is he recognizes his own weakness in this. In verses 7 and 8, he calls himself both a servant and a child, and he's overwhelmed with the task that's before him and recognizes that there's inadequacy in who he is. But I'm only a little child, it says, and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. And I find that this is often a missing ingredient in our prayers, right? Is recognizing our own weaknesses. Even in most of the laments that we see, we find that God often goes to people often go to God with laments, and we give our own suggestions of what we want without ever recognizing in front of God, letting God know where our own weaknesses are and recognizing our own weaknesses. So there's this also this idea that when you're seeking wisdom and when you're feeling overwhelmed and looking for guidance, we have to be able and willing to say that we are overwhelmed in what is going on. And then you see this request for God's wisdom. And remember that Solomon could have asked for anything, given all of his options. There's one request that stands head and shoulders above everything else. And he asked for this in very simple form in verse 9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So this phrase of discerning heart, a hearing heart, Solomon wanted to hear, wanted a heart that hears from God itself, able to hear where God has where God is leading him, and distinguish between right and wrong. That's what he wanted when he asked for wisdom, was this discerning heart. And I love this because often we find ourselves in a place where, I mean, even if I was asked if I could have anything, probably the first thing that comes to my mind is not immediately a discerning heart. But that answer that we learn and can learn from in Solomon is, again, a person at the beginning of the story who didn't have that wisdom, who was conflicted, who was compromised, yet was profoundly committed to God, is one that is realizing that God is at work, that he has his own weaknesses, and he's going to need to rely on God. And out of that comes this request for wisdom. And so I guess really we look at now what this even means for us, right? James 1:5 says that all we need to do is request it, and God will supply it. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God loves to give generously, and when he grants wisdom, he doesn't find fault with us. But we must admit that we lack that wisdom in order for us to ask for it. I think that's an important component of this. And realizing where our own needs are, and realizing that when we ask God, he will show us the way, but we have to be willing to go. When we start our prayer, are we fully committed to going wherever God is going to lead us, no matter what it may be? And that's that difficult part of, I guess, wisdom. And often we probably find ourselves asking God for wisdom, knowing that I know what I want, right? We even talked about it previously as we've been looking at prayer, right? Is often, especially when people go to God with laments and want to go to God with something, really the second thing that they say is their own answer to what they're asking for. God, I'm feeling oppressed. I'm being chased by my enemies. So here, God, is what I would like you to do, right? And which is kind of interesting, is it's not really exercising any wisdom whatsoever, yet it's thought of, it's us thinking that we're wise in doing this. Rather than recalling what God has done and recognizing our own weakness and then asking for wisdom. And I think for when we look at the response that God gives to Solomon, when Solomon's request is lifted up, God is pleased in verse 10. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had, that Solomon asked for a discerning heart and was wise. He turned, if you turn over even into the next chapter, in chapter 4, verse 29, it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Because his heart was in the right place, we see his willingness to, or God's willingness to do great things, and God doing great things in his life. I really think that, you know, as we kind of come to a conclusion of this specifically, is almost an echo of, well, I guess Ephesians 3 would be the echo of this, right? 3:20, which is, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And that's what was given when Solomon asked for wisdom in the situation, in governing his kingdom. More than, immeasurably more than he could have ever asked for or imagined. It's reflective also in Matthew 6, right? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. If you go to God with that right heart, better buckle up, because great things are going to happen. And so as I finish with this, and next week we're going to continue on in prayer. I want to do it for at least 2 more weeks and look at different aspects of it. And I hope you're enjoying it like I am. But notice this fits also the formula that we've talked about before, right? And I'm not saying that prayer is formulaic. I'm saying that there are definite aspects, though, and different things that occur when people go to God that we should pay attention to. And here we see that his reaction is one where he praised God, right? Solomon journeyed to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And there's a celebration, and he gave a feast for all in the courts. And remember, this is what we talked about just even a couple weeks ago, which is, when God answers prayers, are you willing to share it with others? And here you have the wisest man who ever lived now. God gives him what he asked for, and the first thing he does is go to the courts and share it with others. And so this really takes us through almost like a Thanksgiving psalm, except in the book of Kings, right? Through the way that he goes to God and he asks for it. And so for us today, you know, I think it's understanding that that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, which is Proverbs 9, verse 10. If we honor God for who he is and surrender to who he is, then when we go to him asking for wisdom and guidance, better believe that there's going to be answers. And so take time this week, as you're thinking about it and in your prayer life, to ask God for that discerning heart in whatever situations. It doesn't matter if it's big ones or small ones or anything in between. There's this realization that we need to go to God with everything and ask for guidance and wisdom in everything. So let me just leave it at that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue on with this next week. So let's pray. And I hope, again, you're enjoying this as much as I am. And we'll be back next week with episode 12, which I believe now is the correct number. Let's pray. God, thank you for who you are. And God, today we ask for wisdom. We ask for guidance. We ask for that discerning heart in difficult times and in good times, whatever it may be. But God, we ask that you give us that wisdom, that we're able to go to you with everything. And so today we ask for wisdom. God, we know that happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding, as it says in Proverbs 3:13. And we pray that we will find satisfaction in you through the wisdom and guidance that you give us. We thank you for this week, wherever you may be guiding us. And we just pray for wisdom as we go wherever you're calling us. We pray these things all in your name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me again. I'm glad that you're able to join me. I'm looking forward to next week as we continue with this conversation. If you've got questions, don't be afraid to reach out to us at Sunrise. We're more than happy to answer questions, and I'm more than happy to answer questions about prayer and where God is calling you and what wisdom looks like by asking God for it, right? For what we've talked about today, or whether it's lamenting or any of the things that we've talked about with prayer. This is meant to be a conversation and something that we're able to grow in, that we're able to build on, and come out stronger. So take care, have a great week, and we will see you next week.